sir. Good morning. Could you just state your full name, your ADC number for us for the record?
Anthony Brooks.
Okay.
B-R-O-B-S-C.
Okay, and your ADC number, sir?
062381.
Okay, sir, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, sir. I'm going to introduce you to the board members that are conducting your hearing this morning. To my far left is the Honorable Luis Quinones. Coming down the line is the Honorable David Neal. In the middle, you have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chair. To my immediate left, you have the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. Sir, my name is Michael Johnson, and I am going to be acting as your hearing lead this morning. Mr. Brooks, I'm going to go with some information with you, sir. If there's anything in here that you think may not be correct, please correct me. I'm only going by the information that we have here in our file, okay?
Okay.
Sir, you are appearing before this board for parole to your next consecutive sentence or a absolute discharge. You're currently serving a life sentence for a murder in the first degree. You became parole eligible on February 17th of 2012. If parole to your next consecutive sentence, you will go to a 3.5-year sentence for aggravated assault. Is that your understanding, sir?
The only mistake I heard was I've been parole eligible since 2011.
Okay.
Everything else is correct.
We're just on the form that we have here at February 17, 2012, but I will take your word at that right now, sir. So according to the institutional progress report that we have here, I'm fine. You have taken quite a bit of programming since you've been incarcerated. Is that your understanding, sir?
I've done all of the programming and education according to their Arizona plan, yes.
Okay. And so it says that if you were released, you would stay with Ms. Dolores M. Quama, that she would help
you.
Quama. That lives in 1921 East Weldon in Phoenix, Arizona. Is that right?
That's correct.
And who is that, sir?
I hesitate to put a title on it. We never have. I've known this woman for 26 years.
Okay.
And we are going to be married when I get out.
Okay, so it's a friend of yours, and you're looking forward to getting married. Is that what you're saying?
That's absolutely correct.
All right, sir. So I see that you had your last citation that you actually received was in 2017 for possession of drugs, and you were found guilty on that, and that was a minor violation. You did have one in 17 that was a positive refusal that was dismissed. So what was that all about, sir? It looks like you had some other drug charges in here. Do you have some problems with drugs, or you finally decided to
I have no problem with drugs.
Okay.
The first one with the minor violation.
Yes, sir.
Was it was sage and other implements, herbs that I used for religious services.
Uh-huh.
And because it was a green leafy substance, which is what they wrote, they never had it tested, and the lady said, look, the disciplinary officer told me, look, I believe you, I've checked your record, you don't have any drugs in your record, so I'm going to make this a minor. If you don't plead to this, you have to see the captain, and you can lose your visits, you can lose, you know, your phase, everything. So I took the lesser of the, you know, probabilities and went with that, but it wasn't any kind of drugs. It okay. was just a leafy. It was. Do you know what sage is?
Yes, sir.
Okay, it was sage, rosemary, and thyme.
So what are you going to do with it?
I use it for religious services.
And how do you use it?
I roll it into a stick, like a cigarette, and then I blow against it. I guess what they used to call in the 70s, shotgunning it. But it wasn't any kind of drug or anything. I use it to clear a bay, which is a sacred enclosure.
Okay, what kind of religion ceremony is it, sir?
House of True.
What is it?
House of True.
Okay, all right. So what about this failure to produce that you had back in October of 17, sir?
Oh, they found me not guilty of that.
Okay.
It was just that we had 2 hours to produce, and they got me after, it was like 10 o'clock at night, and it was after my medication had worn off. And I went to medical, and they gave me a thing for 4 hours instead of 2 hours. But it's because of my age and my prostate problems. I could not produce.
Well, it says that it was dismissed. You're about 64 years old now, Mr. Brooks?
Almost 65, yeah.
Almost 65. Yeah, it looks like in a couple of months you'll be 65, sir. So you in there for a murder and murder in the first degree and a sentence also for 3.5-year sentence that's aggravated assault or attempt aggravated assault. Sir, I see a little information about STG. Were you part of the STG while you were inside, sir?
No.
Were you affiliated with them?
Well, affiliated, that's very subjective. I was housed with them. They're all around me. Hell, they're still all around me. If you talk to them, I guess you're affiliated with them. I don't know. I've never been part of any gang. I'm too stubborn for that.
So I see that you've been before this board several times, sir, for parole, home arrest, and it looks like each time that you came before this board, you were denied, with the exception of one time in 2013 that you actually you waived your hearing at that time. Is that right?
That could be correct, yeah. I'm not sure, but yes.
Okay. So on the murder charge, sir, did you plead no contest to it?
I don't even remember that, no.
Okay.
I was guilty of it. Let's just put it that way. I did it. I was there.
Okay. So this was actually happened back in September 1985?
Yes.
Okay.
September the 5th, I believe.
Okay, well, here it shows September. It may have happened on the 5th. It did happen on September 5th. So can you tell us a little bit what happened during that period of time, sir? During this?
I know what happened. I was in an argument with a man. He had already said he had a gun in his boot, and the argument continued, and he got out of the truck, and he went around the back, and he bent down like he was getting something out of his boot. And I told the female in the middle of us, which was what the argument was about, give it to me now. And she got it out of the bag and she gave it to me. It was a 38 caliber pistol. And I told him, don't do anything stupid. But when he came around the side of the back of the truck, he had something behind his leg. Now, to this day, I don't know whether there was a gun or not, because after I shot him, I looked. Believe me, I looked. And to this day, I don't know if he had one or he didn't have one. I believed he had one. And I made the judgment call. As soon as I seen him roll that shoulder toward me, I hit him with one. And it was clear, it was not 6 feet between us. There was no chance I could have missed him, but I shot him again because I didn't know. I'm not going to let him shoot me in the back as I'm walking away thinking I won, you know. I didn't win anything. It was a bad situation. I did what I thought was right. And I'll never know if I was or wasn't right. But I am responsible for that man's death. I do accept that responsibility. Mays. So, his name was Mays.
Yes, sir. So prior to that, Mr. Gross, you were in Ohio.
Yes.
You were involved in another robbery where you robbed a drunk elderly man, and it was reported that you hit the man in the head with a brick several times, causing his death?
Yes.
Okay, so were you were hitchhiking from there, and the
gentleman...
No.
No?
No. What happened?
I lived there. I lived there. That was Columbus, Ohio.
Okay, and so what happened after that incident occurred? Did you leave Columbus, Ohio?
No.
So what happened with that charge, sir?
I was arrested, and I went to prison.
Okay. And then when you got out of prison, what happened?
When I got out of prison, I was worse than when I went in. Much worse. I was much more violent. I was much more, much less tolerable, less patient. And I know now, I didn't know then, that I suffered from a mental disease called... crap. It's where you think you're in danger, but you're not.
Uh-huh.
Paranoid, something, I don't know. I forgot. But that's all been taken care of. I've done a lot of work on myself.
So some of the information that when they talked with the female who was with you at the time that this incident occurred, her story was a little bit different than what your story was. Is that right?
Well, of course.
So how do you account for her story being a little bit different, that more it was a more of a premeditated murder to take the victim?
Because that's what they wanted her to say.
That's what they, when you say they, who's they?
The police that had her.
Okay, because her story was that it was a premeditated murder, that you took him back to the back of the vehicle and you shot him. Is that right? Is that what her story was, you recall?
No, actually she testified that there was a space between the shots, that I warned him twice, mm-hmm. and then she heard a crack, mm-hmm. and she looked back and I had shot him. She didn't think anybody was going to get shot. I think she thought that I would show him the gun and he would back off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I thought too, but it didn't happen like that. But they counseled her several times for hours and hours at a time. They came back after the preliminary hearing and they worked on her testimony again. She actually changed her testimony. They said that the premeditation part was the fact that I asked her to give me the gun, pointed it, cocked it, shot him, and then shot him again. And it wasn't premeditated, but I wasn't in good shape mentally to even fight it. And they brought me that deal and I took it. And I just didn't see where those few facts where we differed were going to make a difference to a jury. I did it. And I never denied that I did it. Self-defense
wasn't
on the table.
So, Mr. Bros, you've been involved in two robbery homicides. So, what is the difference between, you know, your emotional and personal feelings now that's different from back then?
Okay, that's not correct. The second one wasn't a robbery.
Well, you took his vehicle.
It was just an argument.
But you took his vehicle though, right?
Oh yeah, we did.
Okay.
Because we're stranded, we're stuck out there where we were having our little argument.
Mm-hmm.
But I okay, you're right. That is a robbery. I took his property. So what's different? Well, about 1984 or 85, somewhere in there, I was just so sick and tired of who I was. I didn't even want to be me anymore. And I went and I talked to a psychologist, but the deal I made with that man was nothing would be written down. I don't want a psych record following me. And he agreed to it, and we started working on just exactly what the hell was wrong with me and trying to sort it out. And that's when I found out that I was, that I had paranoid delusions and was emotionally unstable. And when I got cornered on some emotional problem, I would just be violent. I mean, it was like intimidation or something. I've always been violent since I was a teenager, and I didn't understand why. And people would ask me, why did you do that afterward? And I didn't know. I really didn't know. It seems stupid to me too now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we started working on my emotional standing and my mental standing, and he put me on some medication, and it took years and years to actually start to take a hold, but I realized that the whole root of my problem was lying. I was an official liar. I would lie about everything, anything. And I moved and I just wouldn't do that anymore. And I haven't since 1985.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and if I recommend to these guys in here all the time, look, just be real, quit lying, and everything else will fall into line.
Mm-hmm.
And it does. I have integrity. I couldn't even tell you what integrity was back then. I have respect. I mean, real respect. I own that because I've earned that. I never knew what any of that was. I have patience and tolerance now, which I never had before. I'm in a place where stupid is absolutely ubiquitous, but I avoid getting into fights with these idiots as a personal choice. Not because I don't want to, not because they don't piss me off on a daily basis. It's just going to change anything. And if you're not making a change, then you're just destroying something.
Okay.
You need a reason to do it, other than you're pissed off.
Okay, so the aggravated assault charge, sir, that you would be paroled to as your next consecutive sentence occurred while you were in prison, right?
Yes, it did.
Okay.
At Winslow.
And what happened there? What was that about, sir?
It was during a riot. And I saw a captain. He had a youngster by his hair, and he was hammer fisting him. And I just wasn't going to go for that. The youngster wasn't even fighting back. There was no honor in it. Let him go. And he didn't. He just kept fighting. He just kept doing it. So I cracked him. And then me and him fought. And when he went down, I didn't put the boots to him. I backed off and I told him, are we done with this? And he said, yeah. Well, they indicted me twice. First time, that didn't work out for them, because they were trying to accuse me of things I didn't do, so I fought them on it. And I even told the judge what I did do, but that wasn't the indictment. So they re-indicted me, and that captain even came to testify for me. He said, "Oh, I got nothing bad to say about him. He's a good barber, and he's a good convict, and I respect him for what he did. So I don't feel like I did anything wrong in that situation, other than made a bad decision to engage him when he was not trying to engage me. I cut the man's hair every 2 weeks. I knew the man. He knew me. But it was one of those things, well, he said it best. We were both involved in a situation out of our making, doing what we thought we had to do. Where I deviated from that was I made that bad decision to engage him simply because I didn't like the way he was taking advantage of that fella he had a hold of. I don't know."
So in the indictment, sir, it has several about two or three correction officers that allegedly that you assaulted. Was there probably more than one correction officer?
No, he's the only person that I fought with, the only person I put my hands on, period.
Okay. So you were charged with 11 counts, and then did you do a plea agreement where they just pledged you to the one assault?
We eventually got in front of a judge, and I told him the same thing I told the first judge.
Uh-huh.
And I told him, "Look, this is what I did. They're trying to lump. They indicted 16 people, and they just lumped them all together."
Okay.
That's how I got all those counts.
Okay.
And I explained to that judge, "This is what I did. And I'll stand for that." And he talked to the other side, and then he caught them saying they had information that they didn't have to seek the second indictment, that they had new information and all that. And he asked me, this Judge Wing up in Navajo County, he asked me, "If you say not guilty right now, I'll throw this out and they can never bring it up again." And I told him, "Judge, that wouldn't be right. I did this. I stand for this. I will not plead not guilty now. I'm guilty of this. Sentence me for this." And he did. He threw everything else out, and he sentenced me for that alone after the captain came and testified.
Okay, well, I see that in the indictment came from the grand jury that it does have several defendants that's all included, all in the same indictment. So I think what you're saying is to be true. So let me ask you, I do see some letters of support, but they're back in 2015 and 2017. I also see a letter of support from Mr. Lawrence Palmer, Cuban. And why is there, Cuba, why is there no current letters or support or no one testifying on your behalf, sir?
Well, my soon-to-be stepdaughter, Cindy, was supposed to be there today. I don't know. They told her that I was going in the afternoon. She called.
Okay.
Dolores is working. She works at the 4th Avenue Jail as a med nurse. My brother's in Las Vegas. I just got done visiting him, and he asked me, "Should I do this again? Should I come there? Should I be there?" I told him, "Look, bro, I'm only being paroled to another number. When it comes time for them to decide whether to let me out or not, then I will need your support."
Okay.
I'm 3.5, and if you call me to my next number, I'm 3.5 years away from coming right back to see you people again. And then you can decide not to let me go then. If you parole me to this number, I'm on parole in prison. And I still have to come back to see you. There's no downside for you. None. I either out of trouble or I don't. And if I don't, it's me that's going to pay the bill.
Okay. So let me see if the board has any additional questions for you. So seeing no additional questions coming from the board, is there anything else you'd like to say to the board before we go into discussion, sir?
I have done years and years of work on myself. I'm satisfied with who I am today. I'm proud of who I am today. That guy that back in 1985, there is none of that guy left in me. None. I have eradicated that because it wasn't right and it wasn't real. I didn't have a grip on what I was doing. And I'm not using that as an excuse. It was a judgment call. I was involved in other stuff back then too. Let's not, you know, split hairs. I was in a bad spot and I was doing bad things and making bad decisions. One of which cost this man his life, and I will never know whether I was right or wrong. Never. Because I could not find the gun. Believe me, I looked for it. I've thought about it 10,000 times since that time. I can't change it. All I can do is change me. And use that change to affect greater change in other people. And that's why I want to be paroled to Dolores. Her family needs me. They know me. They've known me all their lives. And I can help them. I can help my brother. That's all I care about. That I use the time I have left to be right and to be me. I'm never coming back. You people, and once I get out of here, you people will never hear or see me again. Unless I do something, you know, really great, and you see my name in a newspaper or something, but I don't anticipate that because I'm not coming out of the house unless I have to.
Okay.
I'm not a social butterfly. I would be happy just to go on home arrest for the rest of my life.
Okay, Mr. Burroughs, the board's going to go into discussion, so during the time that we're in discussion, we will make a determination whether to parole you to your next consecutive sentence or deny it. I need you to stay on the phone so while the board's in discussion, and we'll get back with you with the conclusion of the board, okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you, sir. All right, the board is now going into discussion. We've had an opportunity to hear Mr. Burroughs to look at his file. Apparently, he has taken some program. He has a release plan that he has someone to go stay with who's a longtime friend. And he said that, you know, eventually the two of them plan on getting married, that his daughter was supposed to be here, but he says his daughter was informed that it was going to be here in this afternoon or later, which is she's not here, but we do not have, but there is a letter in here from 2015 or one from 2017 that's in here. Mr. Burroughs, there's no letters from the victims. However, we do always want to make sure we take the victims in consideration when we are looking at these cases. Mr. Burroughs would be paroled to his next consecutive sentence, which would be a 3.5-year sentence that he's to serve for aggravated assault, which resulted in an incident that occurred during a riot. At the time of the riot, he did admit to assaulting a prison guard. His direction on it, and that I had no idea knowing, but he says that he is a good barber and the barber, and that the captain that he allegedly assaulted came to court and testified on his behalf. He was indicted. I think there were 11 indictments, but there were several defendants that were included in this grand jury indictment, and According to Mr. Burks, he went and told the judge what he did, and he wound up getting this 3.5-year sentence for the aggravated assault, and all the other charges were dismissed. And I think that according to the court document that we have, it is apparent that there were several defendants and all the charges were all grouped in together on all of the actual defendants. He'll be paroled to his next sentence, which will be a 3.5-year sentence. As I said before, he's been incarcerated since 1986. He'll be 65 years old. I believe it will be in a couple of months, 64 years old at the time. I would like to see Mr. Brose have a better release plan. I think that he would probably be a good citizen, not get involved in any more crime, but I would like to just see a better release plan at this point. He does have a couple of citations that he has received, although he did explain the citations, which were reasonably explained. One was dismissed, the other one was a possession that was a minor. And then he had one in 2015 for refusal to program. I think Mr. Brose has well worked on. He says he's done some counseling for his anger. However, I didn't see any anger management programming that he actually took. But he's done some counseling and he's on some medication. He says he had an anger problem and he's worked on it. And he has resolved it. I'd like to see him not have any citations and continue his programming that he's actually doing and definitely have a better release plan. But I do think that Mr. Brost is really working and going the right direction to get himself out, and that he continues to do that. I think that when he comes back before this board, that he'll have the opportunity to present where he's at, get a better release plan, and then give us some more information. He says he don't plan on getting in more trouble. If he ever gets out, you know, we won't see him again unless it's something that he's done that's really famous, right? He's done something really good and gets in the actual newspaper. But that's my opinion. However, I'm willing to listen to the rest of the colleagues. Okay, some other comments. Go ahead, Ms. Whitney.
It's okay. I would just say, as he pointed out himself, he would have to come back before this board again in 3.5 years. So, I mean, I like his attitude. I think he's straightforward. Obviously, there was a victim in this crime, but I wouldn't see any problem with that.
So, I'm gonna make a motion to deny Mr. Brose parole to his next consecutive sentence. However, this incident occurred in 1985. I'm not going to ask for a 1-year set-off. I'm going to just go with the 6-month set-off so that I'd like to see him come back with a better release plan than what he actually has now. That would be my motion at this time. Second.
Agree.
So motion by myself, second by Mr. Quinones. Agree, Ms. Rittenhouse. Mr. Neal,
agree.
Mr. Neal, and Dr. Wright. We're not asking for a 1-year. We're not going to ask for a 1-year set-off. This gives him the opportunity to come back before this board in 6 months. The type of denial is absolute discharge for 12B or 411, which is parole to his consecutive sentence or absolute discharge. I'm going to mark the reasons for denial is that it was a serious violent offense. There was a loss of a human life. I'm going to mark multiple victims because there's the incident that actually happened while he was incarcerated, which he'll be paroled to his next consecutive sentence. It didn't really say whether he was on probation or parole, but I am going to mark that he has a history of assault behavior. And that he has a prior criminal history, as he did do time for another manslaughter and robbery. Marked as a VP offender. Since he does have recent citations, I'm going to mark poor institutional behavior on there. But I'm going to mainly be concerned about no family or community support. And I'm going to mark that because there's no information that we have on file that we could do and that a poor release plan. Okay, Mr. Brost?
Yes.
Sir, the board has voted to deny you parole to your next consecutive sentence or an absolute discharge. Your incident occurred back in 1985. As a result, the board could ask for a one-year set-off, but we're not going to ask for a one-year set-off. We're going to go with the six-month set-off in hopes that you could come back to us with some better information on your release plan. That's not to say that which way the board would vote at that particular time when you come back, but we would like to see a better release plan. So I do want to let you know that if your family or anyone that wishes to appear, if they can't come here, they do have an opportunity to participate in your hearing telephonically at the time, okay?
Okay.
So did you understand?
Yeah.
Did you hear the reasons for denial, sir?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
So, sir, I do not disagree, but the next time I come, I'll have everybody there.
Okay.
Right.
All right, sir. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time, Mr. Brost. You know, I do want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity for appearing before this board, sir. That is going to conclude your hearing at this time. Please just set the phone down so the next person could come in, okay?
All right. Y'all have a good day.
You too, sir. Thank you.